So, what's relevant for right now? We started a maimer about a question of a ben hachacham, and in the question of the ben hachacham, he asks, "Ma ha'idus v'hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem." One nekuda that the Maimer taught us is that with regard to mitzvahs, all mitzvahs are called mishpatim, ve'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. And in as much as all mitzvahs are called mishpatim, we have to try to understand whatever we can understand from each and every mitzvah. All mitzvahs are called chukim, and inasmuch as all mitzvahs are called chukim, there's an aspect of every single mitzvah that's beyond our understanding. Zum gesund. And all mitzvahs are called edus. This idea that all mitzvahs are called edus, that's going to be the emphasis of this maimer. That's what we're going to focus on in this maimer.
Where does now, it say all mitzvahs are called edus?
The Maimer brought down a pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "Vayakum edus biyakiv." There are other psukim as well. Now, in order to explain this, the Maimer began by teaching us that there are three types of of godliness, that enters into the world. There's hamimale, haseviv, and then there's etzem. There's the essence of Eibishter. Mitzvahs of mishpatim are what help us recognize the hamimale, we said. Mitzvahs of chukim are what help us recognize the hasaviv, and edus are connected to the etzem, the essence of Eibishter. In understanding that, the hamimale, you look at the world, and you see marabu masacha Hashem, magadlu masacha Hashem, how great and wonderful is the world that Hashem created. What you're recognizing is the godliness that's inside of the world. You're appreciating the godliness of the world. That's hamimale. In other words, the fact that the world exists means that there's a creator of it, and that creator you're able to recognize in his actions. That's the hamimale. However, a thinking person recognizes that the Creator is greater than the sum total of the world. That's the hasaviv. That's the recognition from the world that there is something higher than the world. There's something greater than the world.
And saviv doesn't give life to mamale?
We'll see. And on a certain level, yes, it does. The way that it's being discussed over here in this maimer, the seviv is, so to speak, the cause of the mimali. And in this analogy which we're currently giving, the seviv gives the energy, the life energy to the mimali. That's the shema, the se'um marim einechem. Look higher. You see the world, you see that there's godliness inside of the world. Look higher. Look, ur'u mi bara eila. Look that there's a creator that's greater than the creation which you see. There's an hasaviv which is greater than the mimale. That's a shlila. That means that we're looking at the world and recognizing from the world that we see an opposite, a negative, an abstract. That's the hasaviv. And that's the difference between mishpatim and chukim, because mishpatim are mitzvahs which are understood. In other words, something that you look at and you're able to recognize, you're able to connect to directly. And chukim are mishpatim which you can't understand. The very identity of chukim are mitzvahs which are not understood. Why can't you mix milk and meat, like we learned in last week's parsha? Why can't you mix milk and meat? Why can't you have a cheeseburger? Because it says you're not allowed to. It's not supposed to make sense. The same thing as shatnas, the same thing as paraduma, the same thing as other mitzvahs that are in this category of chukim. Then there are the mitzvahs of edus. So I'm going to try to give an imperfect mashal, but hopefully al kopanim it'll help to bring across the idea. You have a person who's sad. So the person currently is sad. He's sad, right? The Ur HaMimale is his sadness. The Ur HaSeviv is recognizing that the sadness is not the person.
I've heard about this and this thing.
The sadness is not the person. The person isn't expressed in his sadness. In other words, the fact that currently he's sad doesn't mean that he's always sad. We have a tendency to look at things in a certain way, the way they are now, and to think this is the way it's going to be forever. This is the way it's going to be. When there were Layalenu terrorist attacks, so then everyone was worried that there are going to be terrorist attacks left and right. And we had to implement greater security in the yeshiva. So we put a combination lock to get into the door of Zal. A few months later, there's COVID. COVID means that you're not supposed to touch the same surfaces as other people. So then we want doors that open automatically, that you just like look at them and they open and that you don't have to touch anything. Not this is the way things always were or always will be, and not that is the way things always were and always will be. Just because something is a certain way, it's similar to the way that the story of Avraham Avinu is told to children. When he saw the sun, so he thought maybe the sun is God, because the sun is shining. Then the sun set and it wasn't there anymore. He recognized that the sun can't be God because God doesn't go away. And he saw the moon. He thought maybe the moon is God. And then when the moon set, then he recognized that the moon can't be God. There are things that are here and they're here for a while, but they don't stay. They're not there forever. They don't remain. The fact that a person is sad doesn't mean he's going to be sad for the rest of his life. The person is not captured, not expressed in his sadness. You recognize that the person is higher than this mood, which he's experiencing. Sometimes you're in a mood and you feel like that mood is going to be your mood forever. But that's not the way that it is. It's not reality. You're not captured by your mood. The Ur HaMimale is the current mood. The Ur HaSeviv. Someone came to say hello. The Ur HaSeviv is the. Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
do that.
The Ur HaSeviv is the recognition, the appreciation. He also wants to learn Chassidus. The appreciation that the person is not captured by this specific mood. But then there's the etzem, the essence of the person. In other words, the arhamimale is the sadness is an expression of him. The arhasevev is sadness isn't him. The ur ha'etzem, if you could call it that, it's not really an ur ha'etzem, because ur is an implied gilui. Etzem is bilti miskala, is not revealed. The etzem, the essence, is both are true. In the sadness, there is an expression of the person, but that which it's an expression of is not the person himself, because the person can sometimes not be sad too. There was a certain Maggid, his name was Rav Shalom Shvadron. He was known to be able to evoke great emotion by the people who he spoke to. Whether sadness, longing, mirth. One time there was a donor that told this person, a wealthy person, he told Rav Shalom Shvadron, if you make half the people you're speaking to laugh and half of them cry simultaneously, I'll give you a lot of money for tzedakah. So Rav Shalom Shvadron accepted the challenge. What did he do? He got up and he said a speech. And the speech was one which caused deep emotion by the people who he was listening to. The whole Olam was crying. As the whole Olam was crying, he made his hands like this so that only half the people in the crowd can see him. And to the half that can see him, he made a funny face. So they burst out laughing. So you had half the people crying, half the people laughing simultaneously.
Win the challenge.
The point is that sadness and happiness are both not the person, but both expressions of the person, and both are true, and that's the nimna hanimnois of etzem, of essence. In other words, the mood that the person is experiencing is an expression of Aram and Mali, because this is who he is right now. The appreciation that there's something higher, that there's somebody beyond the current mood, is an expression of Ur HaSeviv. That means that what you see is not reality. It's not the full reality. But that which you're perceiving in the Ur HaSeviv is the shlila, the negative, the opposite of the Ur HaMimali. So it's tied to the Ur HaMimali by being the opposite of it. Then there's the etzem. The etzem is that it's the person who is sad and it's the person who is happy. It's the same person. It's just, it doesn't capture the whole person. That's the nimna hanimnois. You could be happy and sad simultaneously. As it says in Tanya, that there's sadness in one corner of my heart from the Zayar, and there's happiness in another corner of my heart. This is the etzem, the essence of the person. The essence of the person is not tied down to being sad and not tied down to being happy, but in the happiness and in the sadness, it's the etzem of the person that's there, that's being currently expressed through the happiness and through the sadness, but not captured in the happiness or the sadness. You understand? Yeah? Verstehst? Let's read on page Kuf Mem Beis, the top of page Kuf Mem Beis. V'zehu inyin ha'edus shebe mitzvus. This is the idea of the Eidus that are in mitzvahs. The Zasha kol ha-mitzvahs. This that all mitzvahs. Gam ha-mitzvahs the chukim and mishpatim. Also the mitzvahs of chukim and mishpatim. Nikroim b'shem Eidus. They're called with the name Eidus. Hu lefi. This is because Shehem mamshichim u'megalim helem ha-atzmi. The atzmos are in safe. Because they are mamshich, they draw down umegalim, they reveal helem ha'atzmi, the essential concealment. In other words, that which is essentially concealed, because kol etzem bilti neskala. But nevertheless, through mitzvahs, you have a certain expression of etzem. Just like when a person is sad, it's the etzem of the person that's expressing itself currently through sadness, even though it's not captured in sadness and not limited to sadness. So it's not a revelation of the etzem, because the etzem itself cannot be revealed. Never be revealed. But the etzem is currently being nimshach uneskala through this. And in the same way, in a mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, when you put on tefillin, when you give tzedakah, when you wear tzitzis, when you wash negel vaser, which is a mitzvah derabanan, but also a mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah, then you are being mamshich umegala helem ha'atzmi, the atzmos are ein seif. And this is lemaila gami seiviv. It's higher also than seiviv. The mimale is the way that you're able to relate to the mitzvah itself. And it's the way that you're able to relate to the mitzvah itself, that which is captured in the mitzvah, but that which is limited to the mitzvah, that's the memale, a mitzvah which can be perceived, can be understood. The seiviv is that within the mitzvah that's beyond your understanding, because what, you're going to capture Arin Seif? You can't capture Arin Seif. Arin Seif is unlimited. So it's the chayk, the chukah chakakti, the gzeir gazarti, that which is imperceivable, that which is not understandable. And the etzem, that's that which is higher than seiviv, and which is being expressed currently in this mitzvah. That now when you're shaking this lulav and esrog, the Eibishter's essence. You're hugging the Eibishter, and the Eibishter is hugging you. That's the essence. Why? Because that's what the Eibishter wants right now. Because that's what the Eibishter wants right now. Just like when you bring your wife a special flower, or when you go to a special place, or you have a special song, then you're arousing your essential feelings for each other. Why? Because that's what you've chosen. Not because the song has anything to do with the depth of the essence of those feelings. But that's what you've chosen. In Eidus, and the Eidus that exists within each and every mitzvah, that's the expression of Eidus, of the etzem, of the essence of the Eibishter, that's expressed through a mitzvah. This is very, very deep. Right? The kamoisha inyin ha'edus bepashtos, just like with regard to the idea of edus in the simple sense. Hu al davar hanelam davka, it's in something which is concealed specifically. The al davar hagaloi ein shayich edus, because it's something which is revealed, it's not possible to have edus. What's edus in the simple sense? What does edus mean? What does Eidos mean? The word Eidos. Testimony. When do you have a testimony? During a court case. Why do you need Eidim? Why do you need witnesses to give a testimony? Because
prove what happened in the case.
The judges don't see it, right? Yeah. They're there to express something which the judges don't see by themselves. Al davar hagaloi. Something which is revealed, you don't need testimony. If the judges see the event in front of their eyes, right? The good lawyer in a court case, he's able to help the judge or the jurors recognize the truth in the courtroom, not just testify to truth, which happened outside of the courtroom, but to see it in front of them. For that, you don't need edus. For that, you don't need testimony. Mikivin shahu gali, because it's revealed. You see it in front of you. Va'afilu al milsa da avida le'igluye, even for something which will be revealed, ein tzarich edus. It's not necessary to have edus, to have testimony for something like that. In other words, true testimony is on something which is completely concealed, which you don't have even the avida le'igluye, even the future revelation, that you're not going to ever see. Milsa da avida l'gluy, something which will be revealed with time. It doesn't really need testimony. True testimony is on something which is completely not here. Al derech zehu beruchnis, and the same thing is true also spiritually. The ur hamimale hu davar hagalui shemusuk b'seichel, ur hamimale is a davar hagalui, a revealed thing, shemusuk b'seichel, because you're able to understand it. Ur hamimale is that which you're able to see, that which you're able to perceive, the mishpatim, that which you're able to tangibly relate to. The ur hasaviv shalom maila mehislab shus ba'ilamais. The ur hasaviv, the surrounding light, which is higher than clothing itself in the world. Humilsa da avida legluye. It's something which will be revealed. In other words, ur hasaviv is the negation of ur hamimale, and in being the negation of the ur hamimale, it means that it's shayich legiloy. It has a relationship to the gilui, to the revelation. If it has a relationship to the revelation, then just like a ceiling which is too high for me, so I just need to get a ladder high enough, and eventually I'm going to touch it. If I'm persistent, and I make sure to keep trying, eventually I'm going to tackle it, I'm going to touch it. Like the person who tried to climb Mount Everest, and he didn't succeed. But he said to the mountain, he addressed Mount Everest, and he said to the mountain, listen, you're an inanimate object. That means that you're staying where you are. I'm going to keep trying. The first time I didn't succeed. The second time I didn't succeed. But eventually, I'm going to conquer you. I'm going to climb you. And indeed, he did in the end. Because it's too high for me just means that I can't reach it now. But in the future, the avida legluye, I'm able to reach it. That's the ur hasaviv shalemailam islab shusbailamais. The ur hasaviv, which is higher than clothing itself in the worlds, but it's milsa davida legluye. It's helem hashayich legiloy. Ki al yidei hahasaga ba'ur hamimale, through the perception of ur hamimale, shemislabish ba'ilamais, which is clothed in the world, shahu ha'ura bilvad, which is only a ray of godliness, which is proved from the very fact that it is clothed in the worlds. If it's clothed in the worlds, then it must be just a ray. Something which can clothe itself inside of the worlds is only an expression. It's only a ray. It's only external. But through that ba'im, we're able to come lidei yedia, to knowledge sheyeshnei ar shehu muflami elamis. If you see a person who's sad, then you should know that this person is able to express himself in emotions, and you should know that there's a person there who's higher than the mood which you're currently seeing. If you see a world, a limited world, a limited existence, then you're able to recognize from the world that there is a creator of the world that's higher than the limitation of the world. Just like Avraham Avinu did in his investigation. Ba'im lidei yediya, we're able to come to a knowledge. Sheyesh noyer, there is a light. Shehu mufla me'aylamais, which is higher than the world. Shehu hamikar, shemimenu nimshach ha'ar shebislavshus. That's the source from where There is the Ha'aris Rebislavchus. The mood that you're seeing is an expression of the person who's deeper than that mood and who can express himself in other moods as well. The light, the energy, the godliness that you're seeing is a proof that there is an Eibishter who's higher than the sum total of it all. That's why it's a milsa de avida legluy. It's something which will be shown. So that's not Eidos. So what's the inyan ha'edos? What's the idea of edos? Who be'atzmus are in seif? That's in the essence of Eibishter. Shelemayla gam misayiv, which is higher even than the seiviv. Shehu nelem legamri. That's completely concealed. It doesn't express itself in anything. The ur in seif is expressed in the shlila of the ur hamimali, in the opposite of the ur hamimali, in the infiniteness. The Ur in Seif is expressed in the infiniteness. You just can't perceive infiniteness with your limited seichel. But the Eidos is something which isn't directly expressed anywhere. It's everywhere and nowhere. B'zehu masha seichel, masha kol ha-mitzvahs, excuse me, nekram Eidos. This is why all mitzvahs are called Eidos. Lefib. Because, like we said earlier in this paragraph, Shehem Mamshichim Umigalim Atzmus are in Seif. Because they are Mamshich and Megala Etzem, Shelemaila Gami Seiviv, that which is higher even than the level of Seiviv.
How does this idea of Milsa, what does Milsa mean here?
A thing.
How does that analogy you said about Mount Everest, how does that tie into?
Because when there is something which is higher than you, it's a milsa da avida legluyu. Why is it higher than you? Because within your current limitation, you're not able to conquer it. But if you're persistent and you expand your limitation and expand it some more and expand it even more, eventually you'll expand it beyond the borders of that which is preventing you from being able to conceive that which is higher than you. So if Ur in Seif is defined by its being infinite, in other words, by its being beyond your finiteness, so expand your borders, and then you'll be able to be infinite also. That's not a direct statement, because obviously as long as you have borders, you're not infinite. So expanding your borders just means pushing yourself a little higher, and infinite means completely not finite. It's the concept behind it. The concept behind something which is the negation of you, by definition, is something that if you lose your finiteness, the limitation which is preventing you from accessing it, you'll be able to access that as well. Good? Okay. So we've established that Eidos draws down Etzem. But what does it mean that Eidos draw down Etzem? What does it mean that Eidos draw down Etzem? We said, why does Eidos draw down Etzem? So in the analogy of Eidos being a special song, because the husband and wife have chosen that song as their song, right? In other words, because it's a certain choice which is lemaila miseichel. Since it's a choice which is lemaila miseichel, therefore it's an expression of etzem. That's more or less what we're understanding currently, right? However, with regard to chukim, Aryeh told me earlier that the reason why he can't have a cheeseburger is because Hashem doesn't want him to. In other words, it's a ratzain, a desire of Hashem, shalemai lamitam, which is higher than logic. So how is that different than Eidos? They're both an expression of something which doesn't necessarily make sense. It's not logical. It's just the Ratzin of Hashem. It's what Hashem wants. And if it's what Hashem wants, then both of them should be drawing down Etzem. Why is it only Eidos that draw down Etzem and Chukim only draw down Ur HaSeviv? Good question?
Yeah.
Excellent, because that's the question that the Maimer is about to ask. In Ois Hei. So the beginning of Ois Hei. Ubir hamayla de edus al chukim bepratius yeser, to explain the advantage that edus has over chukim. More specifically, af shagam bechukim nirgash begiloi shehem ritzayna yisbarach, even though also in chukim is nirgash begiloi, is felt in a revealed way, in a tangible way, shehem ritzayna yisbarach, that they are Hashem's ratzayn. And if they're Hashem's ratzin, that means they're ratzin shalemayla mitam. They're a ratzin which is higher than logic, which is higher than reason. It's just what Hashem wants. So if it's just what Hashem wants, that too should be connecting you to Hashem's essence. Which of course it does. But the Maimer is teaching us that what does connect you to the etzem, that's the edus of chukim. Not the chukim of chukim. Why not the chukim of chukim? After all, chukim are also beyond reason.
Say the Chanukah
Maimer
that everything is chukim and then that also connects you?
Yes. But what we're saying now is that everything is chukim, and in as much as everything is chukim, that's something which is connected to our Hasaviv. But everything is edus. That's the whole point of this Maimer. Everything is edus. And in as much as everything is edus, everything connects you to the Etzem. What we're asking now is, if what connects you to the etzem of edus is the fact that the ratzon Hashem is expressing itself in this right now, like a person who's sad, that his etzem is choosing to express itself in sadness currently. If that's where you're capturing the etzem, then you should be able to capture that in the choik as well as in the edus. The ratzon shelamai lamitam. So, in order to answer this question, the next three paragraphs, this paragraph and the following two, are going to explore the idea of chukim in greater analysis, on a deeper and more specific way. And it's first going to relate to an idea which is taught, Yuva and Alpima Shekosav Maimer will understand this through this which is explained in the Maimer, Shechukim Humilashin Chakika, that the idea of Chukim is from the language of Chakika. What does Chakika mean? That's Chayk, good, but what's Chakika? Lachakok?
Engraving.
Engraving. Chukah is Milashin Chakika. Something which is chayk is engraved. What does it mean? What's the connection between a decree which is not understood and the idea of engraving? So the Maimer explains that there are two relationships between the concept of engraving and the idea that something is a mitzvah that's not understood, or something that's not understood. And the two are lemaila and lemata. Let's see inside. Umehem shechan yanim sheba ha-maimer, from the continuation of the maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe, which this maimer is related to a lot. The maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe, the kishal chabincha. From the continuation, mashma, the implication is the shnei inyan baza, that there are two ideas of this. There's inyan hachakika lemaila, there's the idea of engraving above. What's the idea of engraving above, parents? K'meshikasav b'hamaymer, like it says in the maimer, the mailas isyes hachakika al isyes haksiva, the advantage of isyes hachakika, engraved letters, on letters that are written. What's the advantage to engraved letters over written letters?
It's there forever.
It's there forever. Why is it there forever? It doesn't come out. So that means that it is
internal.
It's internal. The advantage of engraved letters over written letters is that written letters is dyoy, al haklaf. It's ink on the paper. Ink is separate from the paper. How do you get written letters? You get written letters through taking something external, something else, and putting it on top of the surface in a way that it's blocking the surface. And by blocking the right area of the surface, you're able to get a letter, a written letter, right? On the other hand, oisyeis hachakika are engraved. They're internal. They're integrated into the surface. They're part of the surface. They're not something else being added to the surface. And therefore, they can't be erased. There's a story of the Rebbe, the Friedeker Rebbe. I think it was Rabbi Posner, who explained in a certain setting that a yid is like a letter in a Sefer Torah. That just like a Sefer Torah that's missing a single letter is pasul, so too Yiddishkeit that's missing one yid, if there's one yid that's not involved, that's not there, that's not participating, then the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. And therefore you need a Sefer to investigate it, to look at it, and to fix the letter which is missing, to bring out the light. The Rebbe is like that Sefer who's bringing the Neshama back, who's reigniting the Neshama. That's what Rabbi Posner, I think it was, explained. And the Friedrich Rebbe heard about this. And the Friedrich Rebbe said that that's a beautiful mashal, but it's imprecise. Because a letter in the Sefer Torah can be erased. Why could it be erased? Because it's ink on cloth. And if it's ink on cloth, then it's not there. When it's scratched off. But the letters of a Jew are like the engraved letters of the Luchos. You could never take them away. They're always there. What could happen? It could get covered over in dirt so you don't see it. So what do you need to do? You need to take away the dirt, but the letter is always there. That's the Oisyeis HaChakika. That's the Chayk. The engraving. The engraving is always there. Mailas Oisyeis HaChakika al Oisyeis HaKsiva, the advantage of the letters which are engraved over the letters which are written. He is She Oisyeis HaChakika Einam Davar Noisaf Ala Etzem. They're not something in addition to the essence. Umevar Shezeu B'chinas Keser. This is the idea of Keser. Noisaf, addition, ala etzem, on the essence. It's not something which is covering the surface and concealing the surface. It's the essence of the surface. This is the difference between the keser and the ten spheres, the way they exist in keser, and then the ten spheres as they exist outside of keser. Chachma bin adas, chesed gvur teferes, etc. The ten spheres, the way they exist outside of keser, are like dyoi ala ksav. They're a concealment of the etzem. And in concealing the Atzim, that's how they exist. That's how their reality is there. But Keser, that's just Atzim. That's Oisyeis HaChakika. That's integrated and internal. And in as much as the ten spheres exist inside of the Keser, they're not a concealment of the Atzim. They're an expression of the Atzim. V'yesh Leimar, D'zeshek HaKeser, this, that Keser, which is the Ur HaSeviv, who Dugmas Oisyeis HaChakika is compared to Oisyeis HaChakika, She'einam Davar Neisav Ala Etzem, that they're not something in addition to the Etzem, who it is, She'hagilui Da'ur HaMimale, the revelation of Ur HaMimale, Lihiyoisai Gilui She'bibchinas Gvu, being that it's a gilui which is on the level of gvul, which is limited. V'lay k'mayah etzem, it's not like the essence itself. Hu k'may davar noisef ala etzem, that's like something which is in addition to the etzem, it's covering the etzem. V'hagilui da'ar ha-seviv, on the other hand, the revelation of ar ha-seviv, li'yosei b'li gvul, is k'may ha-etzem, and therefore ein davar noisef ala etzem. In other words, when you have the ar ha-mimale, what's the ar ha-mimale? A tree, a snowflake, a mountain. All of these things, they're certainly an expression of marabu masach Hashem. But when you look at them, you're seeing something which is not a bishter. It's a dover mugbal. It's a limited thing, a creation, maisei yadai lihisbar, but it's not Eibishter. In fact, if you bow down to it, it becomes an aveda zara in certain situations. It's not Eibishter. It expresses the beauty and the majesty and the wonderfulness of Eibishter, but it's concealing Eibishter in its very existence. As a davar mugbal, as a limited thing, as a specific expression. On the other hand, the ur ha-seviv, the ur ha-keser, being that it's bligvul, it's transparent. And in as much as it's a revelation which isn't concealing the Eibishter behind it so much. We're going to see that it's still a certain concealment. But so much, it's not concealing the Eibishter behind it because it's integrated to the etzem. It's part of the etzem. You understand? It's very deep. Va'aydinim b'chukim milashon chakika. There's an additional idea of chukim milashon chakika. In other words, the first idea of chukim milashon chakika is the concept of engraved letters, that the engraved letters are part of the etzem, and in as much as they're part of the etzem, they're not a concealment of the etzem. But there's an additional idea of chukim milashon chakika, she'al yidei hachukim nasa ba'olam inyan hachakika, that through chukim there happens in the world chakika, an engraving. This is chakika lamata. Chakika lamayla is the fact that it's part of the etzem. Chakika lamata is that it becomes part of the world. In other words, that godliness becomes integrated within the world through chukim specifically. In other words, the fact that ar ha-seviv is the source, like Gavriel keeps on saying, of ar ha-mimale, that causes that the ar ha-mimale is battle to the ar ha-seviv. In other words, even though the ar ha-mimale appears as a yesh, but really when you look at it, what are you inspired with? If you just stop and think and you stop and reflect, what are you inspired with? You're inspired with a recognition and appreciation of the Eibishter who created it, the ar ha-seviv. So in the ar ha-mimale, there is an engraved ar ha-seviv. Kedisa b'medrash, like it says in the medrash, imloy berisiyem v'layla chukas shemayim v'eretz leisamti. If I would not have created day and night, then the chukas of shemayim v'eretz, of heaven and earth, I would not have placed. That this medrash is teaching that it's because of the mitzvahs that the world exists. It's because of the chukim that the world exists. So you want more world. You appreciate world. A big bank account, a nice car, a lot of gashmias, a delicious pizza. You got the pizza last night. You weren't in the right place.
What? There was no
pizza. The pizza was in the way.
You had to be there. So a delicious pizza. If you're... This that you appreciate world should bring you to appreciate something which is deeper than the world. That the world should not obstruct godliness, rather the world should express godliness. That's really something which is integrated in the world. In a slice of pizza you could have the Baruch Ata Hashem. Elikeinu alachaylam hamaytzi lechem in haaretz. That you're connecting to the Eibishter, which is the source and the energy and the life of the world, the Ur HaSeviv. The Chukim Shabahem Chokakti as a Shemayim Varetz. Umevar Bahamaymer, the Inyan Chokakti Shemayim Varetz, who habitul Shanasa Ba'ilam. It explains in the Maimer that the idea of Chokakti Shemayim Varetz, the Chukah that exists inside of the world, it's the bittul, the negation, which happens inside of the world. In other words, the fact that there is a bittul in the world to the Eivishter. Look at the world. The sun is constantly rising and setting. Why? Because that's what Hashem wants it to do. That constantness of bowing down to the Eivishter, of expressing the song of the Eibishter, and that's true in all of the world and everything that exists in the world. That everything that happens within the world is an expression of the Ratzin of Hashem. That constantness is a bittul. The world is bittul to Dvar Hashem. Why is the world bittul to Dvar Hashem? Because there's the Ur HaSeviv, which is the source of the Ur HaMimali. So therefore the Ur HaMimali is not able to rebel. When you are able to rebel, you ever feel like rebelling, Yossi? You ever feel like a feeling of, like, I just want to ignore what this old rabbi is telling me and nudging me with. I just want to do my own thing. Yeah? This that you have a feeling of rebellion. Yeah? You feel that sometimes? Yeah? This that you have a feeling of rebellion is, where does it come from? It comes from Yeshus. In other words, because you're a Yesh, you're able to make your own decisions. Don't let that guy tell me what to do. The world doesn't rebel b'derech klal. Why does the world not rebel b'derech klal? Because there's a bittul which is integrated inside of the world. Where does that bittul come from? How come this tree doesn't suddenly start growing oranges in the middle of the winter? Why doesn't that happen? Because it's not the Seder. So how come the world follows the Seder all the time? Look at Bachrim. Bachrim don't always follow Seder. You have to incentivize them with hundreds of dollars in order to get them to follow Seder. Why does the world follow Seder? Why doesn't the world rebel? Because there's this inyan of chakika which exists in the world. The bittul shenasa ba'olam. Why is there a bittul in the world? Because the Ur HaMimale is the continuation and the expression of the Ur HaSeviv, which is the negation of the Mimale. But it's shayich to the Mimale, Yidei Hamshachas Ur HaSeviv, which is Chakika de Lamaila, being that above there exists this level where the Ur is not a Helem of the Etzem, in the Ur HaSeviv, in the Keser, where it's a Chakika of the Etzem. Therefore, when it's drawn down below, even though the way that it is below, as a tree, and as a mountain, and as a pie of pizza, and as a mound of cash, it is something which is concealing the Etzem, but being that its source is from the Ur HaSeviv, which is the expression of the Etzem, therefore there's a bittul which exists in it as well, that you just have to tap into and recognize.
So when it says habitul shana asav ayil, it's saying that everything in the world is only what it is because of the seiviv.
Yeah.
As in, if that seiviv wasn't there, but doesn't he say, if you didn't make the days and the nights,
em lei berisi yemem v'layla chukas shamayim v'aretz lei samti.
So what does that mean?
That means that Hashem created the day and the night. In other words, He created the world only because of the chukos shamayim v'aretz, only because of the mitzvahs.
Chukos shamayim v'aretz is chukos.
The chukos, the mitzvahs. It also means the seder, like Yosef said, the seder of the world. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk, but the deeper meaning of the pasuk is it's a reference to the mitzvahs.
But it sounds like he's saying, if I didn't create the world, then I wouldn't have
made right, that's so correct. Much. That's the way that it sounds. But that's
the
not
other
the
way around. Now.
Yes, correct. That's the, but that's not the meaning of the pasuk. Okay, we'll stop over here for today in the middle of this ice. We'll continue Bezus Hashem tomorrow morning.
Good, Rabbi. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So,
every day come away.
Apply
it. You can apply it to your own life, right?
Yeah.
We can do it.
Have to have the bittle.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, take care.
So the world only exists because the chukos exists.
What?
The world only exists because it's still going.